am this year for myself.
Okay, this week we read the Sedrus of Vayakel and Pekudei. They're back together, as they usually are. If last year was a leap year, they read separately. At the beginning of Vayakel, Vayakel and Pekudei describe Moshe's teaching to Klal Yisrael, the laws of the Binyan HaMishkan, the laws regarding the construction of the Mishkan. And then Pekudei is actually the implementation of Moshe's directives. They raise all the money, all the materials that are necessary to build the Mishkan. And then in Pekudei, the Mishkan is built, and the beginning of the consecration of the Mishkan takes place. And of course, Vayikra describes the avoda, the sacrificial service, the offerings that will take place in the Mishkan. But the Torah prefaces Moshe's relation of the laws of the building of the Mishkan with a very important introduction. Moshe assembles all the congregation of Israel, says to them, these are the matters, these are the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded that you should do. For 6 days you should work. On the seventh day it should be to you holy. Shabbat Shabbason Lashem. Shabbat Shabbason, a Sabbath of Sabbaths, literally meaning a day of cessation for God. Kol ha'osev omelacha yumos. A person who does any of the forbidden labors on Shabbos, you must. It's a capital crime. Now, what's interesting, of course, is that it's not the first time we've heard about Shabbos. On the contrary, we've heard about it a number of times. For example, Breishis introduced the concept of Shabbos without the strictures. But in Eseres HaDibros, Zachoros Yom HaShabbos HaKadsho, Sheishes Yomim Tavo, Tasem HaLachov Yom HaShvi'i Tishbos, in almost similar language. You work for 6 days, and on the seventh day you rest. And the same admonition regarding work. Not only that, but in last week's Sedra, Kisiso, but after all the directions were given by God to Moshe regarding the construction of the Mishkan, God says to Moshe, V'atot daber al b'nei Yisrael le'mor, you now will say to the Jewish people, Acha shabsosai tishmoru, even with everything that I've said, you still have to observe the Shabbos. Ki osi b'ni u'v'neichem l'darasechem l'das kini Hashem mikadishchem. It's a sign between me and you, me, God, and Klal Yisrael, for all generations, to know that I am the God who sanctifies you. Ushmartem es ha-shabbos ki kodesh ilochem. You will sanctify the Shabbos because it's holy for you. Mechalaleh mos yumos, those who desecrate it, they'll surely die. Ki kol osev omlocho v'nichrosa nefesh ahi, mi kerev amel. Anyone who desecrates the Shabbos, so they're chayiv kares, extinction. And then, sheish yesem alcha, similar psukim, and this particular parasha ends v'shomer v'nesal Shabbos, that text that we say Friday night, right before the Amidah. Why is it placed here? So Rashi notes, it's placed here for similar reasons that we have it at the beginning of Vayakel. Afal pi, ach is always a limiting word. Afal pi shetiu rudufin bizrizas hamlocha, even though you should be so energetic to pursue, so assiduous in the performance of this assignment, building the Mishkan, Shabbos al titcha mipanel. Shabbos should not be superseded. Shabbos should not be violated. And that's how Rashi, so in fact, that's what Moshe did. There's a difference. God told Moshe all the details, and then the admonition of Shabbos. Moshe begins all the details of Melechas HaMishkan with the admonition of Shabbos. So they know, Milechat Chila ab initio, that Shabbos is not to be violated for Binyan HaMishkan. And Rashi says very explicitly here, in Pasuk Bez, Hikdim lohem azharas Shabbos latzivoy melechas HaMishkan. Moshe preceded the laws regarding the Mishkan with the admonition of Shabbos. Lomar she'en adoches HaShabbos. to teach us that Melechas HaMishkan, the Binyan HaMishkan, is not Docha Shabbos. So that's pretty clear to us, even though you can make a very cogent argument, as the Mefarshim do the other way. All right? For example, what would be a good argument why the Binyan HaMishkan should supersede Shabbos, should override it? So the Maral makes a good point. The Maral says that we see, that maybe we'll argue that it's when the Torah says, Sheshes Yomim Te'asem Elocho, that's only talking about your personal work, right? To do something for yourself. So that's not Docha Shabbos. But Melecha Shamayim, to do something for God, that should be Docha Shabbos. Or the Be'er Basadeh, Rav Danon, one of the Turkish Parshanim 3 centuries ago, says a point which we'll take up today also, a good argument. So Melecha, the Binyan HaMishkan is not Docha Shabbos, but in fact the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash is Docha Shabbos. Alright, very strange. You can't build the Mishkan on Shabbos, but once the Mishkan is built, there are a lot of violations of the Torah that take place in the Mishkan on Shabbos. Slaughtering, burning, cooking, grinding, etc. All the malachas take place on Shabbos. So he said, if the Avodah, which is once the Mishkan is built, can take place on Shabbos, so Binyan Lakolshke, the construction of the Mishkan should take place on Shabbos too. That's his argument. So the arguments are very logical, although they're both rejected. But that's the question we have to understand. Why is it that Binyan HaMishkan is not Docha Shabbos? The construction of the Mishkan does not override Shabbos. But once the Mishkan is built, then in fact whatever takes place in the Mishkan does override Shabbos. So why is that? In fact, it is very strange. You know, we're almost completely removed from this concept, from this reality, because it's so many years since the Beis HaMikdash existed. But in fact, there's no doubt that during the time of the Mikdash, Meheri Yibaneh, it will be very hard from our perspective to appreciate the Avodas HaMikdash on Shabbos, or even to see even to see Shabbos in the Mikdash itself. After all, the Avodah is relatively bloody. You have in the base of Mikdash things which are really, again, removed from our Shabbos experience. Animals running around, animals being slaughtered, animals being carved up, and this Mizbeach, the altar, is operating, and the parts of the animal being burned on the Mizbeach. The energy, the hustle and bustle that takes place in the Beis HaMikdash and Shabbos is really not in consonance with what we perceive as Menucha Shabbos. It's so different than our Shabbos. Our Shabbos are some more serene, right? We try at least, except in Shul. But in our homes, it's more serene, it's laid back, we're calmer. In the holiest place in our world, the Beis HaMikdash, Shabbos is a center of activity, an activity which really is at odds with how we perceive Shabbos. So, how do we understand that? How is it possible that Shabbos should be so different in the Mikdash than it is for us today? And again, if the Binyan HaMishkan is not Docha Shabbos, the Binyan Beis HaMikdash is not Docha Shabbos, it applies in the future too. When the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, it can be rebuilt during the 6 days of the week. But Shabbos, Shabbos is Shabbos. But once the Beis HaMikdash is built, then any number of Yisuri Shabbos are violated. What makes it even more fascinating is that the very structure of the Yisuri Melacha, the prohibited labors on Shabbos, are all derived from the Melechas HaMishkan. Okay? That the Gemara darshins from the beginning of our Sedra, Eila hadvarim asher tziva Hashem lasos osam. These are the matters. So the Gemara says in Shabbos daf ayin that Eila hadvarim, Eila in gematria is what? 36. 1, 30 and 5. 36. Dvarim is plural. So the minimum plural is 2. It's 38. And hadvarim, the, a definite article, makes it 1, 39. So Eila hadvarim is a mnemonic device. We should remember that 39 different malachos. And what are those malachos? Those forbidden labors on Shabbos are all those labors, those creative activities that were used in the construction of the Mishkan. In other words, all our halacha Shabbos are derived from those labors which were utilized in the Mishkan, from the first, Zareya, Harisha, sowing, plowing, to the last, Makeh B'Patish, and putting the finishing touches on something, and Hotzah, carrying. Well, the 38, Hotzah is a little different, but of the 38, they're all exercises in human creativity. So from those, we abstain on Shabbos. Those exercises in human creativity were precisely what was done in the Mishkan. So we have to understand also, why is it that the very laws of Shabbos, which are at the heart of our observance of Shabbos, were based on the Mishkan? You know, one of the points we should mention, the Ramban has a very interesting comment, which I guess we should reflect on every Shabbos. When God first says to Moshe in Kisiso, Acha Shabsosai Tishmoru, all right, still you should observe my Shabbosos. So the Ramban asks, what does it mean Shabbosos? There's only one Shabbos, right? Shabbat Shali, Shabbati, Shabbatotai, Shabbatot Shali. What are the Shabbosos? The Sabbaths of God. There's only one Sabbath. So the Ramban says very well that Shabsosai means many Shabbosos. It's talking about all the Shabsos Hashonim. There are many Sabbaths in a year. In fact, there are usually about 50 Shabbosos in a year. So it's not just one Shabbos. It's 50 Shabbosos. The point being that one can't simply say, I'm Shomer Shabbos in a general sense, right? I observe properly 49 of the 50 Shabbosos of the year. And one Shabbos I can't. Shabsosai means a rigorous application of the concept of Shabbos to our lives. A rigorous implementation. That's not a particular Shabbos, or Shabbos just as an idea or a theme, but Shabbos as a weekly event. And one of the most unique aspects of our lives that's unknown in the world, and maybe not as well known as it should be amongst ourselves, is that the holiest day of the year is not Yom Kippur. The holiest day of the year is Shabbos. So the holiest day of the year comes up 50 times a year, not one day. You know, the way the world, especially other religions, look at it, there's special days, and there's almost a slope leading up to the, you're traveling up a pyramid or up a mountain. But at the top of the mountain is the epitome of holiness, the climax, the acme of holiness. And therefore, most of the world thinks Yom Kippurim is the holiest day. If you look at the media, before Yom Kippurim, the holiest day of the year is coming. It's a falsehood. You see, for example, we have our gradations of holiness signified through Aliyos, La Torah. The holiest day of the year is Shabbos. Seven Aliyos on Shabbos. The Yom Tov has five Aliyos. The holiest of the Yom Tov is Yom Kippurim. There's six Aliyos. But even Yom Kippurim is less than Shabbos because Shabbos is holier. And of course, you see in the davening too, Yom Kippurim. I think this coming year, Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. So if Yom Kippur were holier than Shabbos, it would supersede Shabbos. So Shabbos would not be mentioned. But no, it's mentioned. Mikadesh HaShabbos v'Yisrael v'Yom Kippurim. Shabbos is mentioned because Yom Kippurim does not override Shabbos. Even Yom Kippur mass takes place within the context of Shabbos. So Shabbos is the holiest day of the year. And that's Acha Shabbososai Tishmoru. It's not just an event or an attitude, but it actually is a weekly commemoration and observance. This idea is so foreign that I remember a friend of mine was telling me, he's a lawyer for 20 years, and everyone knows the Shomer Shabbos, and he's in the same firm for years already. And just a few years ago, three, 4 years ago, it was a big deal that was closing on Monday, and they made a meeting for Shabbos. And he said, you know, I can't come. So they said to him, you know, we know you observe the Shabbos, but we thought maybe this one time you can make an exception. Because every week, how could you have it every week, the same thing, the same day? That's Acha Shabbososai Tishmoru. Shabbos really is, at the very definition, of how we perceive ourselves as Jews. And we recognize as well, it's really almost the essence of Jewish definition. We define ourselves. In some sense, we define our world as divided between Shomrei Shabbos and Mechalei Shabbos. You want to give a Jew, you know, a stamp of approval, so you need to say about him to someone else, he's a Shomrei Shabbos, and then we know everything we want to know. Well, maybe not everything we want to know, but we certainly know a significant amount about how that Jew looks at the world and how seriously he or she takes the obligations of Torah. So Shomer Shabbos, everything is encapsulated in that one definition. I'll share an insight of the Chafetz Chaim that also something to think about, maybe speak about Shabbos. So one of the Zmiris Friday night, Kol Mekadei Shvi Kol Ro'ei Lo. My grandfather, Olav Hashem, used to sing it, but I've never known anyone have a nice tune for it, so it's not really a very common zemer. But Kol Mekadei Shvi Kol Ro'ei Lo, person sanctifies the Shabbos, you sing it, good. As appropriate for him, Kol Shomer Shabbos Mechalalo, person who observes Shabbos from desecrating it, keeps far from desecration. Schoro Harbei Me'od, his reward is very great, Al Pi Po'lo, according to his deeds. So Chafetz Chaim said that there is such a thing as Shmiras Shabbos, but there are two types of Shomer Shabbos. One is Kol Mekadei Shvi Kol Ro'ei Lo, a person who sanctifies the Shabbos as it's appropriate. Shabbos, a day of Torah, a day of Tefillah, a day of Avodas Hashem, a day of spiritual elevation, a day set aside, really the pinnacle of the week. That's one type of Shomer Shabbos. Then there's another type of Shomer Shabbos. That's called Shomer Shabbos Mechalalo. They just try to avoid Yisurei Malacha. To them, a Shabbos is a day of a restriction, a day of Yisurim. You just have to watch at what you're doing. Be careful not to violate the Shabbos, all right? So, presumably, those people involve a lot of sleep on Shabbos. They're not involved in Chil Shabbos. They try to keep away from Shabbos as a day of holiness, a sacred day. So those are two different ways of approaching Shabbos. Two different ways. And note, the Zemer says, Schoro Harbei Me'od, for both people. The Schar is very great. Those who observe Shabbos, Koroi Lo, and those who just observe it, Mechalalo. Schoro Harbei Me'od, but it's Al Pi Po'lo, according to one's deeds, according to one's actions. So Koroi Lo, of course, includes, by definition, Shmiras Shabbos Mechalalo. And that's the highest level. It's Al Pi Po'lo. But even if one just abstains from malacha, mechalalo, that person also has tremendous schar. So you see, on both levels, of course, one is greater than the other, but on both levels, at the core of our observance of Shabbos is avoidance of Yisurei Shabbos. So now the question is why? Why is Shabbos first, the laws of Shabbos dependent on the Mishkan? Why is the Binyan HaMishkan not Docha Shabbos, but why once the Mishkan or the Mikdash is built, the Avoda is Docha Shabbos? Why is that? Let me share with you some insights of Rav Aviner of Beit El on this topic. The world as we know it, if we probe the way the universe is set up, is a mixture of Kodesh and Chol. In fact, it to us appears to be overwhelmingly chol, overwhelmingly mundane. And that's the world that we see. There are, in the world of chol, from our perspective, intrusions of kedusha, intrusions of holiness. So, for example, the world itself appears to us to be chol, but we do have concentrations of holiness. A Beis HaKnesses, a shul, Beis Medrash, and of course the epitome of physical holiness, which will be the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, inside the Beis HaMikdash. So too, that's in the world of space, bless you. In the world of time, similar concept. We even refer to the weekdays as Yimei Chol. It's interesting, that's the phrase. You know, in English we speak about weekdays, alright, as opposed to weekend. But not from a Torah perspective. We speak of the Yimei Chol. Literally means the profane days All right? We don't say to someone, you know, in English, we will say, what are you doing this week? Or, as opposed to, what are you doing during the profane days? All right? It's a much harsher statement. But that's what it is. Chol, secular, mundane, profane, devoid of inherent kedusha. Within those days, all right, or better said, apart from those days, hamavdil ben kodesh l'chol, ben yom hashvi l'sheishes yemei hamasa, God who distinguishes between the holy and the profane, between the seventh day and the days of work, the intrusion of kodesh during the in the days of the week is Shabbos. Shabbos is also set apart. So you see, the way the world is set up, it's possible for an individual to really have no recognition of anything but the profane, anything but the mundane. It is possible. But since we were given an insight into the way the world was created and the way man is supposed to live, so we are made aware of these insertions of holiness. And we are made aware of how to maintain these institutions of holiness and bring them to life the entire week. All right, to take a simple example, what's today? You'll tell me Monday, but how do we count it? Right, what's a Shir Shal Yom? Hayom Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. It's the second day as we count the Shabbos. So really every day bears within it the reminder of the pinnacle of the week, that part of the week which is removed from the week and takes us from the environment of Chol into a different, completely different environment, into the environment of holiness. That, by the way, is a very difficult concept to convey to children, teenagers, and in fact, to adults many times as well. Because you find, again, Kol Shemesh Shabbos Mechalalo, well, let's take the simple case first. I always tell the bar mitzvah boys, they come to my house for our annual basketball game in the springtime, that the difference between a child and an adult, from their perspective, is ball playing on Shabbos. I always tell them that. What's the problem? The problem I always tell them is that if you play ball on Shabbos and you play ball again on Sunday, there's no difference between Shabbos and Sunday. And that can't be. Shabbos has to be a day apart. A day apart. There's certain things that are defined as uvdot techol. They relate to the profane week, the mundane week, and then the Shabbos. Whatever a person does on Shabbos has to be different. In fact, we have these things built into the halacha, into Minig Yisrael. Shelo yehei hiluchacha shel Shabbos kehiluchacha shel Chol. Shelo yehei diburcha shel Shabbos kediburcha shel Chol. All this based on the pasuk in Yeshayahu, which is our Haftorah on Yom HaKippurim. You can't walk on Shabbos like you walk during the week. V'daber davar, you can't speak on Shabbos like you speak during the week. It's not just a question of tone. That too. It's a question of content, of substance. That's why you find people say all the time, you know, Nishabbos Geretz. You can't speak about that on Shabbos. Sometimes they'll speak about it and say Nishabbos Geretz, but you can't speak about it. At least they... Yeah, right. At least they remind themselves of that point. Shelo yehei dibur chashel Shabbos kedibur chashel chol. That you can't speak on Shabbos the way and about the subject matter that you have during the week. That Shabbos really is a day apart, and it's a world apart. And for sure, one who's a simple Shomer Shabbos knows that Shabbos is a world apart. He has no television, no radio, no telephone, none of the accoutrements of modern life that connect us to the world outside. Shabbos, our only connection to the world is really through the shul, through the family, through our friends, through fellow Shomer Shabbos. That becomes our world on Shabbos. It's a world that's locked apart, locked away from the greater world. And that's the way it's supposed to be, a different day. For adults as well, it's the same thing. If a person would spend Shabbos afternoon, for example, either sleeping, reading a newspaper, so it's not really a day apart. Shein of a Shabbos Tainug, and there's a place to sleep also. God forbid I shouldn't mention that. There's a place for it too. But if the entire Shabbos is slept away, or worse, you see on occasion, people will sleep away Shabbos to be prepared for their Motzoi Shabbos activity. So that can't be right. That can't be right. Because that again is making Motzoi Shabbos into the essence of the week, the high point. And even our Shabbos behavior just simply leads up to that. So that can't be. So there's a place for Shena on Shabbos for sleep. I hope not shul, hope not while I speak, but there is a place for sleep. But Shabbos is really a day for productive spiritual activity, and that's what it is. First wants to sleep, there's plenty of time. During the Yemei Chol to sleep, there's 143 possible hours during the week of sleep. Must the 25 hours of Shabbos be utilized for that? How could that be? The fact is, it would never dawn on a person to sleep Sunday afternoon. Even though Sunday is Shabbos Sheni Shel Golios. You don't have to work on Sunday. Nothing goes on. But no one in his right mind or her right mind would think of taking a three-hour nap Sunday afternoon. Your children would say, what's wrong that you're sleeping Sunday afternoon? Why does it happen on Shabbos? Because we don't always appreciate what Shabbos is, and we really define Shabbos by the Isuri Malacha. I can't do things. If I can't do things, let me sleep. Sunday, I can do things. So let me do them, and I'll save the sleep for another time. But in fact, Shabbos represents that climax of the week, really everything we look forward to. It's the tachlis of the entire week, the purpose, the goal, and therefore it has to be perceived as that. From a philosophical perspective, of course, like I said, Shabbos is that, like Rav Avinair said, it's the intrusion of Kodesh into what otherwise would be Chol. So therefore, again, in the popular culture, perceives, they don't really have an understanding of what Shabbos is, and I guess only in the workplace, when people understand what you can and can't do, do they then perceive Shabbos as something different. But you know, if you'd ask a non-Jew, for example, about Shabbos, they would just think of it a day where you just sit around. You know, what can be done? Because all the modern contrivances that relate a person to the world are removed from us. So they see it as a terribly boring and uninvolved day. And on the contrary, to those who live it, it's a very engaged day, a very involved day. In fact, maybe it's just me, but it's a very busy day. That's really what Shabbos is. Now let's understand the questions that we raised and really the essence of Shabbos and why Shabbos, on the one hand, is not overridden to build the Beis HaMikdash, but on the other hand, is overridden while the Beis HaMikdash exists. So there's a point which is a little deep, but I think reflects well on Shabbos and I hope adds to our understanding of Shabbos. To us, there is a conflict, an apparent conflict, between creation and nature. We're aware of creation, but we're aware of it, but not the same as we're aware of nature. We only see nature. Nature is the consequence of creation. In fact, we can only measure the consequences of nature. We study it, it has laws, we define it, they're very discernible. So we try to understand nature. No doubt in the last century and a half, we've made tremendous strides in the world in understanding nature, probably exceeding combined in totality what previous two millennia of man were not able to understand. So nature we can try to understand, and we have tremendous advances. But creation, we are still very, very distant from understanding, and in a very real way, it is removed from man's understanding. That's what the Gemara says, the Mishnah, the beginning of the third paragraph of Chagiga. Those are things which are lemala mimcha, or milifnim, that came before. That we can't really understand. But it's not just creation. What we also don't understand is the life force which animates all of nature. So Ravinier notes, for example, if a person would say that I can see how God causes the trees to grow, we would think such a person is insane. As we could see trees grow, and we could see the vibrancy of nature, but the life force that animates all of nature, that also we cannot see. So we measure nature's results, but the inherent processes of nature are still hidden from us. intuitively we sense that it exists, all right? So for example, spring starts later this week, all right? The grass starts to turn green. We see the birds again chirping and the animals in motion. And we see the streams flowing. We see everything, the sun shines. To us, nature is constantly in motion. It's not stagnant at all. It's alive. Nature is alive. You look outside, you see the trees are blowing. I mean, for what? How? Why? Because we know there's certain forces, certain... Ofra walks in. Nature's alive. There's certain forces that...
The goddess of nature.
That I can say. So we see life around us in a variety of forms. Now, pagan man also saw that. And what pagan man did, being ignorant and misconstruing nature, is that they assigned a different creative force, a creative power, to each of those expressions of nature that they saw. So, for example, the sun set and the sun rose. So the sun is its own power. The trees, mountains, rivers, a whole list of things that the Torah mentions in Dvarim. And the Gemara of Avodah Zarah goes to great lengths. The marvels of nature. So pagan man worshipped all of those down to our day, when you see man still worships man. Also just an expression of nature. What they failed to see from the beginning of time, really from the Dor Enosh until today, what man does not really see, but we were given the insight into seeing, is HaMachadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamed Masa Breishis, how God in His goodness renews on a daily basis all of creation. That part of the equation is not as well known. In other words, nature is visible. That which underlies nature, that which gives nature its life force, that is not as visible. We're taught before everything then, the very first thing we are taught, Breishis Bara Elokim, Eis HaShamayim Ve'Eis HaAretz, that as a beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But we also don't see the intrinsic connection, though, between God as the life force. We know it's there, but on an intrinsic level, we don't see it. You know, Chazal say, Elokim in Gematria is 86. 86 is also Hateva, nature. Because, not to say nature is God, the Rahman al-Islam, or God is nature, as there are doctrines that maintain such a thing. Pantheists. Spinoza maintained it. We don't maintain such a thing. That's a heresy. But it does mean that to us, nature is an expression of God's goodness and God's creativity, which are visible to us. But the average person would look at nature and not necessarily see the hand of God. By the way, that's why we have, for example, a number of mechanisms by which we relate to the God of nature. All right, primarily brachos. Okay, you see a magnificent natural sight, like the Grand Canyon, or you see lightning, or hear thunder. It's a bracha to make. Osa Masa Breishis, the God who created these works of creation. Shekocho Gvur So Malei Olam, God's might fills the entire world. Kiddush Levana, for example, is another aspect of that. So God, in fact, we recognize through brachos, God is nature, but again, on an empirical level, we don't see it. The reason being, God has to keep the scales of Bechira, of free choice, balanced. If God were visible in nature, it would be very difficult for man to sin, and more so be difficult for us to say that we're partners with God, so to speak, in making, in creating, and sustaining His world. We're supposed to be partners, but partners through our Bechira, through our free choice, our free will, not because God has imposed it upon us. If God was so apparent that the possibility of sin became completely diminished or eradicated, so then there's no free will, and man becomes an automaton, a robot, and that can't be. So therefore, God is really hidden in nature, as I discussed a few weeks ago. That's the word olam, olam, from ne'elam, from hidden. Zeshmila olam. God is really hidden in this world. all to keep Bechira possible. Shabbos is really the day of God's disappearance from nature, so to speak. God created 6 days, right? Sheshes Yamim, that we're saying gracious in Kiddush. Ki v'shamru, ki v'sheshes Yamim asa Hashem, asa Shemayim, asa Haaretz. It's not just that God created the world in 6 days. Well, those are the 6 days where the processes of creation were apparent. Those are the 6 days where God's involvement in nature was empirical. There was no person around except for Adam at the tail end to witness it, Adam and Chava. But God's involvement in nature was manifest, was obvious. With Shabbos, God, so to speak, receded from creation. Shabbos, the word in modern Israel, the infamous word shvita, a strike. It's as if God went on strike, kivyachol, come Shabbos. That's the word. Disappeared, ne'elam. Let natural law proceed, unchanged since then, except for miracles, and let mankind make his way in that world. So, kivo shavas mikol melachto, asher bara l'kim asos. On that day, God ceased all his creative labors. On that day, the world of creation ceased, Yom HaShishi, Bein HaShmashos, and the world of nature began. So Shabbos is the day on which we recognize the Borei Olam, in that sense. Now understand, because this is one of the keys to Shabbos, in the construction of the Mishkan, utilized all of nature, or samples of all of nature in its construction. Better said, what the Binyan HaMishkan did was consecrate all of nature to God's service. So every aspect of the natural world, animal, mineral, vegetable, as well as the involvement of man, is included in the Binyan HaMishkan. Every type of material, every type of constructive labor, every creative human activity known to man was included both in the materiel of the Mishkan as well as in the way the Mishkan was created. Look at it this way, because it's a beautiful example, it's a far-reaching example. So the Lametes Melachos that we're more or less aware of, because we encountered every week in its applied forms, Zareah, Harisha, Bishul, everything involved in preparing bread and preparing animal skins and kibui and hadlaka, extinguishing fires, making fires, etc. You take those 39 malachas, which, as we said, Eila Hadvarim, which were the malachas involved in the construction of the Mishkan, and they take it down to our day, 5,764 years from the creation of man, and to this day we define all of creative human activity based on those 39 malachas. In other words, there is no new labor, no form of labor, no derivative of labor, of creative labor that we have today that did not exist in the time of the Mishkan. All right, so this, for example, answers a famous question that many people ask, usually outside our world. How is it possible that electricity should be prohibited or automobiles should be prohibited when it didn't exist in the time of the Mishkan, didn't exist in the time of the Talmud? So how could they prohibit something they didn't know of? But you see, the same type of human creativity implicit in electricity, implicit in automobiles or any of our appliances, that creativity already existed in the Mishkan. So that's what Chazal do. They look at electricity, for example, and they try and they deduce, what is it most related to? Is it related to Aish? Aish existed, the kindling of fire. Is it more akin to Bone, meaning taking two things and combining into one? So the flow of electricity depends on circuits closing. Circuits closing, you're literally linking two ends of one entity and allowing something to pass through. Is it Aish? Is it Bona? Is it something else? Is it Nolad? Is it creation of a new form? Whatever it is, the specifics are not as important as the principle that there is no device that we can create today whose technological expertise is not somehow grounded in those 39 basic categories of creative human labor utilized already in the Binyan and the Mishkan. So that's how the Lamitas Malachos, the 39 labors, still apply to this very day. That's why there's nothing new. That's why any new situation that arises is just related to those labors, because that is the sum and substance of human creativity. Abstention from those labors on Shabbos, therefore, testifies that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate master of nature. So in fact, the Mishkan could not be built on Shabbos, because on Shabbos we can't use nature, nor can we use our creativity in serving God. It's exactly opposite. We abstain from creativity, and we abstain from utilizing nature in service of God, paying homage to the Creator. In essence, paying homage to the God of nature. But there is one element that is still outstanding, and that is paying homage not to the God of nature, or the God who created nature, but God who is still the creative life force of all of nature down to today. HaMachadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid Maaseh Breishis. So how do we acknowledge that? How do we acknowledge not just that God is the God of nature? So we abstain from Malacha, it's good. How do we acknowledge that God is the life force behind nature at Ayom? So that, Rav Aviner said, is found in the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. All life comes from Hashem. Our lives, the lives of all created beings. So therefore, how do we recognize God's hiddenness in terms of being Chei Olamim? How? That is through the Avodah. What's the Avodah? It's primarily disconnecting one of God's beings from life itself. Meaning you shecht an animal. You slaughter an animal and essentially return the life of that animal to the giver of all life. When we do that, what we are humbly stating about HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that even though he is unseen in the Teva, unseen in nature, nevertheless, he continues to be the animating force of all life and all of creation. So Avoda Docha Shabbos. It's not a paradox. To build the Beis HaMikdash, so there, Rabbeinu Bachya already said, the ends don't justify the means. So you can answer the question of the Be'er Sodeh before. How is it that if Avodah is Docha Shabbos, Binyan Lo Kol Shekein, if you could violate Shabbos when the Mikdash is built, so obviously when it is yet to be built, you should be able to violate it, to create that structure. He said, no, because Avodah is not Docha Shabbos, that the ends don't justify the means. There is an end. The end is acknowledging HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we do that in two ways. Through Binyan Beis HaMikdash, that has to defer to Shabbos, because there we're utilizing our creativity, our mastery of nature, to build this structure. That has to take a back seat to Shabbos. That defers to Shabbos. But once the Beis HaMikdash is built, then we have to acknowledge in the Beis HaMikdash the other aspect of God's relationship with our world. Not just that he created it, which we acknowledge on Shabbos, but that he still is the life force behind nature. The way we do that is through the Avodah, where essentially we dedicate our lives. Essentially there, we submit our lives before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through the auspices of the Karban, we draw near through using the animal, and essentially stating that this animal is tachtenu, it's in our place, right? We return the life of this animal to the giver of all life, and that's how we acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu as both creator of nature and as the master of nature until today. This concept is really at the heart of Jewish life. It's the recognition that there's only one power in the universe, and that we serve him, kirtzono, in accordance with his will, as he's outlined for us. That's how we look at the world. That's why Shabbos is really the center of our world, even though it's only 1/7 of our lives. It's the center of our world, and it really defines the other 6/7 of our lives. And that's why you have that anomaly in halacha, right? A person who observes all the mitzvahs and is mechal Shabbos, It's if he's not doing anything. So he's a kofer b'chol haTorah kulo. A person shomer Shabbos, he's defined as a shomer Shabbos kolchaso, karoi lo, especially, that person is different. When we acknowledge our service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kirtzono, we acknowledge a number of things, that his halacha governs our lives, and his ideas govern our thoughts, and his hand governs our history, governs our history. When we have those acknowledgments in our handbags, in our arsenal, all those ideas coalesce in Shmiras Shabbos. Because in Shmiras Shabbos we see his halacha, we see his thoughts, we see his guiding hand, we see his imprimatur over all of our lives, every aspect of our lives. And in doing that, we become the holy people HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us. We become a people really set apart. It's not just Mavlu Mekadosh Shechol, not just Ben Arul Choshech, and not just Ben Yamashish Levein Sheishim Amasa, but it's Ben Yisrael La'amim. We're divided, separated from the nations of the world also. We're distinct because we live in accordance with a given set of principles that gives us an insight into nature, into world, into man that no other people has. And with that insight, yeah, an insight into the world that no other nation has. And with that insight, we are told to take that to the world, preach it to mankind. They should know exactly on their level through the Shev Mitzvos, B'nai Noach, why they live, what they're here for, how they also contribute to God's world. If we do that, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for creation operates on all cylinders. And when that happens, that'll be the day of ultimate gula. Notice, Chazal say, beautiful Chazal, that Ilmalei, if only the Jewish people would be Shomrei Shabbos, Kilchoso, twice, Meshamash Shei Shabbosos Kilchoson, if only we'd observe two Shabbosos, Kilchoson, immediately the gula would happen. Immediately. Why is that? Because Shabbos, see, why two? Why two? It's because one is a Chavaya, one's an experience. Two is a commitment. So two Shabbosos Kilchoson, then redemption comes. And that's why Shabbos is tied to it. Because within Shabbos are all the ideas that constitute not just the essence of Jewish life, but the Jewish message to the world. And if we have that, and articulate that, and implement it in our own lives, then that already is the redemption, and then Mashiach Tzidkenu comes as a ratification that we've reached the level that God has, the level to which God has aspired for us, the level that God has, the standard that God has set. When that happens, then Miyad Nigolim. That's the essence of Shabbos. Yes? Right. You do have that. You have trees. Yeah, yeah. You have trees, plants, and the Ketores, and certainly the binyan too. You mean the avod itself? Mm-hmm. The avod seems to be animals too, because that is you see, animals for us represent a life force that's very close to man. Very close. We identify closely with animals. If anyone has a pet, we recognize.
You have no idea.
I believe that. All right, man has an attraction to an animal that because of certain similarities. That sometimes we project on the human emotions too, but a person could never have that, you know, with a tree or a stone. Remember the pet rock craze? I actually was in Israel when it took place. I wasn't aware of it until I came back here, but it didn't catch on because man doesn't really identify or see a creature in a stone. But not an animal. So therefore, real life is to be found in a fellow creature. All right? But you're correct in that all of nature is utilized. The plants also used in the avoda. Okay? And, for example, if a person doesn't have money for an animal carbon, certain types of carbonos, he could bring the minchasani, his flour. So flour comes from wheat. Right? So therefore, it's also, that's also life. But it's a lesser identification. So the great identification is through the animal. If you're thinking, well, in the third Beis Hamikdash, will there be animal offerings? Seems yes. Those who quote Rav Kook are saying not. They're misquoting Rav Kook. Yeah, it's not true. It's a famous misquote of Rav Kook. He never said such a thing. But you see, Vashevis ha'avodah l'vibesacha, the Ishei Yisrael, will turn the avodah, any Ishei Yisrael, the fire offerings of Israel. That's what we say in davening three times a day. That's been in Beis HaMikdash. All right. And no doubt, to us it sounds very gory. I guess if you experience the life of the Mikdash, you get accustomed to it. But it's part of our avodah. That's part of Shabbos, the regularity of Yom HaShabbos. You have on Shabbos two lambs abroad, two sheep abroad. That's part of the daily offering. So there's a consistency in avodah that recognizes that man, on one hand, is an elevated animal, and on the other hand, is unique. All right. So in terms of the former, that's why animal offerings are part of the avodah. In terms of the latter, there is a uniqueness to man, which recognizes that indeed one can serve God through Talmud Torah too, through the intellect. Not necessarily involve animal offerings, but that's a different madriga.
Yes, you can see that in the future, this happen, or in the past, when it has happened, where people pitch overboard and suddenly people sacrifice, and children sacrifice, and they feel a strong connection to God, and they go over.
Right. Well, that was part of the ancient world also.
Yes.
That's correct. They brought child sacrifices, people sacrifices. Yeah, you don't need sacrifices, even people killing other people in the name of God. It's a similar concept. That's correct. That's correct. That's why I don't want to even say it as an outlet, because you wouldn't say karbanos are an outlet for man's aggression, God forbid. But there's no doubt people without understanding and people for whom life itself is not very meaningful and they're overwhelmed by their passions and service of God, they're most prone to this type of violence, right? We never see violence against other people as a service of God. You know, sometimes it's an unfortunate necessity, like Mechias HaMalek. Mechias HaMalek is an unfortunate necessity, but to think that in the ultimate sense, one serves God by killing his creatures, that can't be. That can't be. Any other questions? Okay, yes. About a bris on Shabbos, well, that's based on a pasuk, Uvayom Hashmini Yimol Basar Laso. That Mila B'Zman is Vayom Hashmini Afilu B'Shabbos. Okay? Afilu B'Shabbos, because their Mila is tied to the particular day. So something which is tied inherently to the day, like Uvayom HaShabbos, Shnei Chalasim HaNeshama. It's a similar point. But again, Mila comes from a different perspective. So since the whole notion of Milas that it should take place on a specific day, L'chachilo, so therefore it'll take place on that day, even if it's Shabbos, except, and we discussed this in the past, except the Yotzei Dofen, a cesarean, because then it's connected to the Tumah. What?
Well, what's 30 not on the 8th day then?
Well, cesarean could be on the 8th day too. Right. But there it's a question of Tumah. This we discussed, I think, a couple of years ago. But, yeah, you have certain things which are Docha Shabbos, all right? But they're involved in service of God in a greater sense. Like Pikuach Nefesh would be another example, all right? We sacrifice an animal life on Shabbos. That's part of the Avodah. But we wouldn't sacrifice, we wouldn't offer a human life who has the potential to serve God on a higher level. That we wouldn't do on Shabbos, so that really is the foundation of Pikuach Nefesh Tocha Shabbos, which, by the way, we just took up this past Shabbos afternoon. We'll continue this week, and you're all invited. Okay. Very good. So next week we'll discuss Haggadah Shel Pesach. Thank you again.